Hello there, it's another episode of the City Business Edition on 97.3 CTFM. You know what? Pesticide contamination has become a major food safety concern in Ghana in recent times, and several studies have actually confirmed and provided evidence of the high incidence of pesticide misuse and overuse in crop production in the country and the detrimental effect on humans and the environment. Well, several reasons have also been cited to account for this high incidence of pesticide misuse in crop production, leading to serious threats to health and food safety in the country. And so it is for this reason that the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CABI, is embarking on an 8 to 10 week campaign which aims to sensitize and heighten awareness of key actors, stakeholders, and the public on pesticide risk in order to engender changes in knowledge, attitude, practices, behavior, which will in turn lead to increased supply of safer, high quality food in domestic markets. One of the conversations we've been having on the City Business Edition has been the safe use of pesticides, and today we are delving deeper into what pesticide application means. We are grateful that you have joined us once again for this insightful conversation. So our friends and colleagues from the Ministry of Food and Agriculture are joining us once again. Eric Jemado, an Assistant Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate at the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, as well as Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Eric and Copperfield, thank you. Welcome to the City Business Edition.
Thank you very much.
We'll be having a lot of conversations. Maybe today I should begin with Eric. Eric will be telling us how he's been seeing the campaign so far. What do you make of the education you are giving the public?
Well, I think it's been quite impactful. When we are done with the interview and we go out, people call us to tell us how useful the message we are passing across is. Mm-hmm. So, all in all, I think we are making progress in trying to get stakeholders to use pesticide responsibly.
We are making progress, you say. Is it the same sentiment you also share, Copperfield?
Exactly. The same sentiment. Because we've been receiving a lot of calls from across the country, people reacting to what we have been telling them, and I hope it will go well and they will put it into good use.
I see. Thank you very much, you, for leaving your busy schedules to join us every now and then. I'm sure the public, especially the farmers, are getting more knowledge, trying as much as possible to reduce the risk associated with pesticide use. It's for a good reason to reduce pests on the farms, but also being mindful of the fact that it can go against the health of individuals and also the larger environment. But today we are talking about application of pesticides. And throughout the about 6 weeks of conversation, every now and then we hear application of pesticide, how you apply the pesticide. Today, the time is ripe for us to talk about pesticide application in a more comprehensive manner. So let me start with you, Copperfield. Application of pesticide, the do's, the don'ts, the cautions, pre, during, and after. Take us away.
Thank you very much. This is a very long one. Before pesticides are applied, I think that farmers or the applicators should be able to identify correctly the pest that they want to kill or manage. By so doing, you know exactly what to buy. So you don't just go and say, well, I want to buy poison, I want to buy pesticide. You will be specific on what to buy. If it is insect that you want to kill, you ask for insecticide. If it is disease that you want to manage, you ask for fungicide or bactericide. And the application equipment that you'll be using is also necessary, so that you don't just use anything to apply the pesticide. Then with that, you have to make sure you calibrate the applicator, the spray equipment that you are going to use. You have to calibrate for efficiency, so that it will deliver the right quantity of chemical that you want to apply on the host. In addition to that, you read the label thoroughly, as we've been mentioning all the time. You read the label because it contains all the information about the product. Then you also know the PPEs that you'll be using to protect yourself before embarking on the application. So the application is just like to deliver a quantity of mixture or product onto a host so that you'll be able to reduce their population for you to also enjoy what you have cultivated or you have planted.
So my understanding is that first off, if you fail to identify the kind of pest you want to even deal with, your application process has already begun on a wrong footing.
Exactly.
And the type of pesticide that you want to use, mm-hmm. the application, what you have on the label, the quantity, and what have you.
Yes.
Right. But in Ghana, typically, what kind of pests do we deal with? And what kind of pesticides thereof?
Here, we have all kinds of pests. All the pests are here. We have insect pests. We have rodents. We have nematodes. They are in the soil. Then we have birds. We have diseases. Diseases, they are microorganisms. We cannot see them, but we see their signs and we see their symptoms. So we apply fungicide or bactericide to manage the situation. Birds are also pests to some extent. Snakes and other things are also pests. So things that disturb us, we call them pests in the surface.
But the rodenticide, the weedicides, all the sites, they yes. are the generic names. But maybe in order for us not to name particular brands, that's why you're avoiding giving us the specific kind of pesticides to use, if my understanding is...
The pesticides, that's the generic name. Insects, for you to manage insects, we have insecticides.
Which is a generic name.
Yes, I wouldn't want to mention any specific trade name as if I'm promoting that particular product. So we have nematicides for nematodes. We have fungicides for fungus. Then we have snails. Snails are also pests. So we used molluscicides to manage them. So
I thought rodenticide was my favorite, but I think this one is, and I don't want to try mentioning it.
Molluscicides. rodenticides are for
rodents,
especially the backbone, those animals those animals having the backbones.
Vertebrates and invertebrates. Yeah. I see. You always take us back to the biology class. But Eric, I see that you want to add something.
Yes, so I see you want us to maybe break it down further.
Yeah.
I mean, taking it from the generic names. Mm. So when you take the insecticides, we can talk about specific AIs.
Mm.
AI, not
artificial intelligence.
We are talking about active ingredients.
Yes. I see. Mm. Break it down for us.
So some of the common actives we have in relation to insecticides, we can talk about chlorpyrifos.
Mm-hmm. Another big one.
Yeah, chlorpyrifos is one of the actives we have as insecticide. We can talk about lambda cyhalothrin. It's also one of the actives we have as insecticide. A couple of them. I mean, it's not just... I've not kept everything in there, but like this come
ready.
Handy. Yeah. So, if we talk about the herbicides, we can also mention AIs like glyphosate, which is the most widely used herbicide we have in the country right now. We can talk about paraquat. It's also one of the AIs in the weedicide group. We can talk about nicosulfuran. It's one of the AIs we have in the weedicide group. We can talk about atrazine. It's a selective AI we have in the weedicide group. So for atrazine, nicosulfuran, you can apply them whilst maybe a maize field is growing, and it wouldn't have any effects. It wouldn't burn the maize. It would just select and kill the wheat within the maize field. So basically, These are some of the AIs we have when we talk about, pesticides and, insecticides and weedicides.
I see, but correct me if I'm wrong. Beyond the AIs and the types of pesticides, one of the key components in the application process will be the spraying machine. What kind of spraying machine is ideal contextually for us in Ghana? And how do we keep the machine in the right condition before, during, and after the process? I don't know who wants to take this one.
All right, let me give an attempt to that.
Attempted solution.
Yes, we have different forms of spraying machines. We have the motorized ones. We have the boom sprayers, which are usually machine operated. We mount them behind tractors to spray and all that. So at the farmer level, the most widely used sprayer is the knapsack sprayer. Yes.
That's the small-scale farmer.
The small-scale farmer. And that's the most widely used sprayer. So before a farmer goes to the farm to apply any pesticide, the first thing he needs to do is to check the knapsack sprayer for leaks and other damages and fix them before he goes to the field to carry out any pesticide application. So the best way in doing that is to first fill the knapsack with raw water and then try to, pretend as if you are spraying just to check where there will be leakages and all that. There are some pressure points where easily gets leaked. We are talking about the nozzle area, the gun or the trigger area. We are also talking about the tank head.
So what you are saying is essentially some test run.
Exactly.
And that's what we refer to as calibration.
Okay, technically.
Right. Yeah, yes. Technically.
So once you are doing that, you also calibrate, as my boss has just mentioned. So calibration basically helps you to tune the sprayer to enable you to deliver a certain amount of pesticide for a given area. So after spraying, you don't just go and dump the sprayer down and leave it and go for it the next time. You have to wash it. You have to make sure you clean it. You remove all the particles that might be stuck in the pressure areas I mentioned earlier, the nozzle area, the trigger area, and all that. Usually they get blocked. So you need to clean it. You open all of those places. You remove all the debris that might, get stuck there before you store the sprayer at a safe place or in a safe place.
But what about when it comes to filling the tank, as it were, with the content, which is the pesticide?
Yes.
What does it look like when it comes to that?
Yeah, so there's an approach to doing that. You don't straightforward place the pesticide in there. You need to half fill the tank with water. Then once you are done with that, you measure the right quantity of pesticide you are supposed to apply
based on what the label says.
Correct. Exactly. Based on label recommendation into the tank. Then once you add your pesticide, you top it up and then you shake it so that you ensure uniform mixture before you go to apply. So this is the approach to filling your tank with the mixture.
And this approach and procedure that you just ran us through, does it require any specific training? If it does, whose responsibility is it and how easy is it?
Yeah, it's you need to be trained on handling of these machines and pesticides. Because the parts, you have to know the role of each part. So the training, it's very, very important so that you'll be able to know the type of pesticide you are using, the categories of pests that you can manage or you can spray, how to apply the pesticide itself using different types of machines, as Eric has mentioned. But let's narrow down to the knapsack sprayer. which is mostly used by the farmers. So how to put on your PPEs and other strategies that you can adopt in pest management, all these things must be taught or applicators must be trained on this. Then after care, when you apply, you finish application, how to treat the spray machine before you embark on another spraying, all these things must be taught, because pesticides are poison.
That takes me to, you know, the issue of precautions. I mean, the last time we met, we spoke heavily about precautions, but briefly, just as testing our relevant previous knowledge, just talk us or take us through the precautions when it comes to the application of pesticides.
Yeah, precautions to take when you want to embark on application. First, you have to make sure you get clean water. You get clean water. You make sure your PPEs are ready. You don't use torn PPEs. Then you read the label, as we've been mentioning. Then you check your machine, whether it is working well. Then you embark on mixing. Mixing, it's a very technical thing that you have to do. Some people just pour the chemical into the tank. It's not the best. First, you have to make sure you have filled the tank. Then you add the recommended dosage onto it before you top up and you embark on the spraying. And make sure that the weather is also conducive before you start your spraying activity. If the weather is cloudy and it's like the rain is about to come, please, you don't go spraying. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure, and you have to go there early in the morning or late in the evening if you want to apply pesticides. So as you are spraying or you are applying the pesticides, you avoid drinking, smoking, and any other thing that will expose you to these chemicals.
I'm just wondering, Eric, all this while we have been talking about the safe use of pesticides, and one of the fundamental issues is about the storage. But I'm just wondering, when it comes to transporting these pesticides, are there precautions that have to be taken right from the production house to when it gets to the farm, and even from the farm, the point of storage to its application? Talk to us about this particular kind of precaution that farmers must take when transporting pesticides.
Yeah, you would agree with me that we have established here that pesticides are very hazardous. So in transporting them, we need to take necessary precautions in order not to endanger the lives of humans, livestock, and even the food we eat. So in transporting pesticides, we have to make sure we don't mix pesticides with food items during transportation. It's very, very bad a practice. Secondly, we don't have to keep pesticides in the compartment where humans sit during transportation. And it's also very important not to mix or place pesticides where livestock are transported as well. So you don't mix these two, because if you do that, you might end up killing your livestock before you even get to your destination. So this is very, very important. And then once you get to your destination, it's important to keep the pesticides under lock and key. I think this time I'm getting it right. You keep it under lock and key so that you prevent unauthorized people from getting access to pesticides before they cause some damage to themselves. So this is very critical when we are transporting pesticides.
In addition to that, you don't transport pesticides without labels. It might be taken, it might be somebody who take it for maybe a drink or something, which might be problem in the near future. So the labels must be intact, and the driver's area, that's the compartment of the driver, pesticide should not be taken. The reason is that some of the pesticides will be releasing slowly, so the fumes you'll be inhaling the fumes, and it can have effects on the human health.
This is still the City Business Edition on 97.3 City FM. We are talking pesticide application as part of the campaign by the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, that's CAPI. CAPI is undertaking this multiple advocacy and awareness creation initiative to address the problem of pesticide misuse, essentially to promote food safety in Ghana. So through a series of multi-stakeholder engagement and behavior change campaigns, this program is working to promote the uptake of appropriate pesticide decisions and behaviors among various actors to ensure the production and supply of safer and higher quality foods for domestic consumption. And helping with today's discussion is Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, and Eric Jimado, Assistant Director, the same directorate, both at the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, simply referred to as MOFA. We've been talking about the fiscal way of, you know, alleviating or improving the use of pesticides, the chemical method, as well as the biological pathway. But one of the points of interest is how we can strike a fine balance between the chemical and non-chemical methods of pest control in the country. And so, Mr. Banini, I want you to pick up this particular one. Help us really appreciate the difference or the balance in the ecosystem when it comes to dealing with this issue that we have on our hands, both chemical and non-chemical.
Thank you very much. Chemical control, we all know that is the use of these substances that can kill the pest instantly or within a short period. But then the non-chemical part, it's physical, biological control, and sanitation aspect of pest management. So if we want to have a balance, we advise that the farmers should select pesticides properly. They should not select the broad spectrum pesticide. They should select those that are narrow spectrum so that they don't wipe out all insects, because all the insects in the crop environment, they are all not pests. As we mentioned some time back, we have the beneficial ones inside. So if you spray a broad spectrum pesticide, you are killing everything, but the narrow spectrum ones will select and the beneficial ones will be left to work for us. Then judicious use of pesticide is also very, very important. Farmers shouldn't just see one insect or two, then they start spraying. They should make sure that they monitor the farm, they scout and see the effect of the insect pest before they embark on the spraying. Then I will advocate that farmers should adopt integrated pest management, which involves all the strategies that are involved in pest management. As and when it's necessary to spray, then you use the chemicals. So farmers should not embark on the calendar way of spraying. Like you plant cowpea beans today, then they will tell you in 2 weeks' time, apply the first chemical. What are you spraying? Have you seen any insect pest damaging the cowpea or the beans before you want to spray? That we should avoid a calendar way of spraying. Then,
so the calendar way essentially means that
whether there is pest or not.
You are just spraying.
Yes, after 2 weeks, yeah, you have to spray. Then thereafter, 3 weeks' time, you have to spray. This one, all this will affect the cost of production. It will raise the cost of production. So farmers should desist from doing that. And in selection, they should make sure they select pesticides that do not persist in the soil. Mm-hmm. Because in the soil, we have organisms that also are beneficial. They also turn the soil around for us to get a good soil for production.
I mean, for every leg of the conversation, one of the issues that we've spoken about heavily is about the kind of collaboration, assistance, or help. But maybe specifically, Eric, when it comes to pesticide application, what kind of collaboration is needed with which agency, and in which form and shape should it take?
All right, so we have a lot of stakeholders, in the pesticide management value chain. So every one of these stakeholders is very critical in ensuring the safe use of pesticide with the purpose of reducing risk. So one, we are looking at the role of the regulator, which is the EPA. Every now and then they are coming up with interventions that will ensure that low mammalian toxicity, type of pesticides are registered for farmer use. And that, I think, is a good thing, because if you take the pesticide register we have currently, you will see that most of the class 1 pesticides are not listed. Class 1 pesticides by World Health Organization's classification are very toxic. So you see that the EPA is moving away from registration of such pesticides.
They are rather extremely toxic. Mm. Extremely toxic.
Okay, so we're talking about the role of the EPA in the registration of pesticides. So currently, if you look at the register, they are trying as much as possible to delist the class 1 pesticides that we have on the market. So class 1 pesticides by World Health Organization's classification are those that are very toxic or extremely toxic. So the EPA is trying as much as possible to delist those ones. And once this is done, I think we would reduce the risks of pesticides poisoning. Secondly, the PPRSD, we are critically in the trying to develop and adopt pest management strategies that are environmentally friendly. So we are championing the use of the biological controls. I think in one of the episodes, we elaborated very much on what we are doing in terms of the biological control methods. Then we can talk about the research institutions, the universities. They are also developing the botanicals, the biologicals, which are low in toxicity. So the farmers as well, what they have to do is to actually tap into adopting these methods that the universities and the PPRSD are developing, the pesticide management options that PPRSD and the universities, the research stations are developing, so that they will move away from the very toxic chemicals that we have in the system. Extension is also in the mix. They are doing very well. Agricultural extension agents, they are the main, carriers of information to the farmers. So they bridge the gap in terms of information between experts and the farmers. They are doing their bit. So like I always say, it's a shared responsibility. Every stakeholder in the value chain should do his bit so that we sustainably use and manage pesticides in the country. Mm. Thank you.
In ensuring that each and everyone in the value chain does his or her bit, let's remind ourselves with do's and don'ts when it comes to application of pesticides, even as we conclude this episode. Copperfield, you take the do's. Maybe you can give us 3 do's, and then Eric will come in with the don'ts. So let's a quick exercise here.
Yeah, thank you. farmers are supposed to make sure they use good spraying machines to deliver on their application. Leaking spraying machines will not be healthy for them. So it's very, very important. They read the label before applying or mixing the product. In addition to that, they should also make sure that the PPEs are put on the PPEs before mixing and applying the product. Thereafter, they should also make sure that they wash. They shouldn't think that, oh, after application today, there was no stain on the PPE, so I'm just leaving it here. No, any time they embark on spraying, they should make sure they wash the PPEs. Thank you.
All right, so with the don'ts, we can look at one of the critical environmental elements that will affect a person who is applying pesticides. So it is very wrong to spray during a windy weather. You don't have to do that. It can easily get drift onto your body. Chemical will drift onto your body, and that will lead to serious contamination. It is also very important not to eat during spraying. If you do that, you would accidentally or unintentionally ingest pesticide, and that will be detrimental to your health. Talking about eating, it's also very important not to drink, not to smoke, not to chew anything during pesticide application. So in all of this, it's very important to prepare yourself very well when going into any pesticide application exercise. So you eat, you drink very well before you do all of this.
All right, thank you, Eric and Copperfield. It's been great having you on the City Business Edition today. We have been talking pesticide application, thanks to the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CABI. CABI is an international, intergovernmental, not-for-profit organization that improves people's lives worldwide by providing information and applying scientific expertise to solve problems in agriculture and the environment. And their PlantWise Plus initiative is to tackle these challenges head-on by following some three impactful, you know, pathways, which is pest preparedness, farmer advisory, as well as pesticide risk reduction. That's why we had Eric Jimadu, Assistant Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Ministry of Food and Agriculture, as well as Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate at the Ministry of Food and Agriculture as well. This has been the City Business Edition on 97.3 City FM. My name is Ni Late. Thank you very much for listening.